Hey, True North, welcome to another episode of Sermon Postscript. I'm with Jay again, and we just finished the sermon this Sunday. We started a new series in Mark, and Jay just preached the first chapter of Mark, verse 12 to 13, about hope. And I think the title is Unexpected Hope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, diving straight into it, I think in the beginning you talked about daydreaming. I think in COVID, we do that a lot. And what do you think the things that we daydream about, what do they tell us where our hope ultimately lies in?
Yeah, you know, I realize that the things that we daydream about tells us a lot about where we actually place our confidence and hope in. You know, so you know, there's a reason why the Bible talks about greed so often, you know, more so than any other sin. And I think for myself personally, every time I daydream about coming upon like a great fortune by chance or by accident or something, you know, and I think, and then it, like the thing that you're trying to get out of that really tells you about what you really idolize, you know. And you know, for some people you want riches and money for the power of it, you know. Others you want it you know, for the comfort of it, or others, you know, you want it just to please other people with it, you know. So and for me, you know, just when I daydream about coming upon like the lottery or something, it's always about the type of comfortable life that I can live, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. I always say your Instagram search page like tells your true heart, because it like listens to everything.
Yeah.
So mine changed from golf to like stocks. That's why we're like, talking about Dogecoin a lot.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. But yeah, so, you know, we're talking about hope, like, now that we're in a pandemic, and you know, like you mentioned, we thought we'd be done with it in a couple months in the beginning, but it's gonna be the year anniversary soon. And why do you think, what are some reasons for you as you thought about this sermon, why hope feels so distant, especially during this quarantine and this pandemic?
Yeah, you know, I think we as a people, we were so used to getting things quickly. You know, so whether it's drive through or whether it's these apps, or even just, you know, Louis C.K., you know, before he got canceled, one of the takes that he had that was very good was like how impatient we are, right? About how we get angry when our internet connection is slow, you know, but it's like this information is traveling through space. And I think this is the first time in a long time where we had to really wait in expectation for things to go back normal, which I don't think our culture is really good at being patient and being still. Yeah. And I think that stillness or the waiting has created some frustration and you know, depression and pessimism to really kind of spring forth in a lot of people's hearts.
What do you think are some ways, like, because, you know, I think you're right where the pandemic has unveiled a lot of stuff about our habits. And what do you think are some ways that we can become more patient, like practical ways, especially right now, because we have the time to work on it, you know? But oftentimes we're just glued to our phones or whatever, maybe. Like, what would you recommend to those listening?
Well, you know, first, the article that you sent on from The Atlantic by Arthur Brooks. It's interesting because the application that he had was basically a non-Christian version of preach the gospel to yourself. So his first application was like, when you are in a state of pessimism, or where you feel like you are super frustrated because the things aren't happening the way you think it is, he said, then, you know, call out your inner lawyer and tell yourself true facts.
Yeah.
And I think this is an application for every Christian, that is stated in scripture, that we preach the gospel not only to one another but to ourselves. And I think when we get to a point where we are kind of in this pit of despair, we have to be able to, and we get impatient about some of the things that aren't happening, we have to be able to preach to ourselves the biblical truths that we know are fact, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just certain passages like, you know, that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, you know, like reminding ourselves that just because something isn't happening according to our timeline doesn't mean that God isn't working, you know. Yeah. Or and there's just a plethora of biblical truths about not only biblical principles, but about the nature of who God is and who Jesus is. Yeah. That reminds us that we can be patient when these unexpected things are happening in our lives.
Yeah, no, I think Martin Lloyd-Jones says it like what you're saying, where he says people only listen to themselves, they don't talk to themselves or preach to themselves, which I think is really true that right now, because you have so much time to yourself. And you know, along that line, I think hope can be founded in that process, right? Talking to yourself, preaching to yourself gospel truths. What are some other ways you feel like, you know, kind of expanding on the sermon, that we can reorient our hope to the right things and ultimately Christ? Like, what are some other things you think we can do alongside that?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of alluding to it, but I don't think I had the time to mention it. One of the things that has really, you know, the article talks about how we are prospective human beings, right? We're, yeah, all, we're like the only creatures that are really able to look towards the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was growing up, I had so much time to daydream, you know, and even like, even in my college years, you know, and maybe even like at the beginning of my single adult years, there was so much time for me to daydream because there were moments of boredom.
Yeah.
Which I think we have eliminated from our lives because of our smartphones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think allowing ourselves to be bored and allowing ourselves not to be distracted. And I think Brett McCracken talked about this, yeah, you know, in our True North talks as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think when you do that and you allow your mind to wander to the place that your heart always longs for, mm-hmm, then it gives you a diagnosis of what you are struggling with and allows you the opportunity to then preach to yourself the truths of, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I think is a failed, it's something that has disappeared in our lives. You know, like every waking moment, I can distract myself with my phone,
yep,
you know?
Yep. No, I think that's really true. I think like, yeah, Brett put it really well, where it's like you have to sit in that like uncomfortable silence that we, I think now, like, never have to do.
Yeah.
But even, like, you know, I like what he said, like, even sitting at a red light, like, I even thought about it, like, my first tendency is to, like, swoop down to my phone and look, right?
Yeah.
And check,
like, hey, I got 15 seconds. I can check something, you know?
Yeah. Or even, yeah, like, you know, long car drives. I know we don't have that much, but it's, like, podcasts, like, yeah, on, which is good. But mm-hmm, even, like, you know, I remember the days before the podcast when I drive from the Bay to LA or back and forth, like, it's interesting where your mind would go and how much, yeah, you'd actually grow, like, in that boring process, which I think is so, yeah, true.
You know, one of the things, you know, going to a doctor's appointment and having to sit and wait, you know, you either, the option is you read a magazine from, you know, 2 years ago, a National Geographic magazine from 2 years ago, or you just sit there and think,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
or, you know, when you get like your oil change, you know, there's just, there was those errands that you would do where you would have these times of contemplation.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, we just got our phones, you know?
Yeah. And because of that, it's still like everything is, we don't have depth in our hope, just in our thoughts or anything. And we're not equipped when things happen negatively, yeah, in our lives. Which, yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally true.
Because, you know, hope is the response to the pessimism and negativity that our heart, you know, it springs up.
Mm-hmm.
And when we just distract ourselves, then what we're doing is we're putting a Band-Aid on something that requires a much deeper medicine,
yeah,
you know, and I think that's where we are now just numb to it.
Yeah, it's a state of numbness, and that doesn't like heal anything, which I think you allude to really well. So kind of wrapping everything up, right? I don't want to say cheesy, but often it can seem, the cliche answer with all this is like, hey, just hope in Jesus. But I think you did a good job of kind of like digging deeper into that. And I guess to end, like, why is it difficult to do that simple truth, do you think? Because, you know, our Christian life ultimately is, that, as cliche as it sounds, it's true that our ultimate hope is found in Christ. And why is it so difficult, you think, to make that simple truth a reality in our lives today?
Yeah, I think this is where, as a Christian, we need kind of a deeper marination of what the gospel means. Mm. You know, I think oftentimes in our cultural setting, we look at hope as like this grand solution, you know? So the hope for someone who's in poverty is like, you know, like Slumdog Millionaire. That was a great movie that I watched. And like the hope for him was to win, you know, the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and on top of that, to be reunited with his love, right? Yeah. And there's like this grand gesture of finding hope through relationship and through money, or this idea of like seeking out a utopia where we as humanity are completely united, and you know, the government is like perfect, you know. So we always have these grand gestures of what hope looks like, but the very picture of the gospel is a hope in a person who was crucified, you know, hope in a God who was humiliated, hope in a savior who was treated as a criminal. And so for us to try to redirect the compass of our hearts to see that hope comes in a suffering servant, a suffering Messiah, it sometimes it has a hard time to kind of really click in our brains. So it's just that I think kind of reminding ourselves of that
fact. Yeah, we've been so like Hollywood like transformed to what hope is. Like, it's always that Hollywood ending, and that's what we hold hope to be, I think, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when I read stories about, I don't know, the church in China, right? Or persecuted Christians, or like in the Middle East, it's like, man, their version of hope is doesn't fit ours, but I feel like they have such a better, robust understanding of that amidst the suffering and difficulties because of what you said, which I find to be so true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, we'll be kind of continuing through the Gospel of Mark, kind of going off the idea of like, how is Christ an unexpected hope? So we hope you're blessed by the sermon series upcoming, and yeah, hope to see you next week.
All right, hey, thanks, Eugene, and thanks for listening, guys.